जय राधमा भव कुंज बिहारे।
The following is a lecture by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj on the occasion of ISKCON's Golden Jubilee celebrations, delivered at Phoenix, Arizona, on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Verse Number 1, delivered on 31st of January 2016.
Gopi Jana Bala Bhala Dhari भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हाय कृष्णा।
प्रोग्राम संडे मॉर्निंग प्रोग्राम and Krishna consciousness, every day is a festival. You know, sometimes people, when they come to the country temple for Mangala Arati, they are amazed. They say, you guys start dancing at 4:30 in the morning? We don't start dancing till we get drunk. We were once doing a program in Russia, and one hall was our program, and right next to our hall was another hall, where they had ballroom dancing, a band playing, and people getting drunk. So the sound from our hall was penetrating into their hall, and their hall, the sound was penetrating into our hall. So these karmis were very curious, what are these people doing? So they came in and saw devotees singing, dancing in such ecstasy. They said, you guys don't drink, you're not holding any woman's hand, and you're still dancing. We don't feel like dancing till we get drunk. So in spiritual life, every day is a bliss. So we'll briefly discuss the verse, then we'll discuss a little bit what Lochan Das Thakur, because today is his disappearance day, and as I said the other day, we Vaishnavas use both the occasion of appearance and disappearance to discuss the transcendental. So both the appearance and disappearance days give us an opportunity to meditate on the works of these great Vaishnavas. And we'll also discuss the Golden Jubilee. And I'll give you some very nice statistics on where ISKCON is today. So this is a verse, famous verse of Bhagavatam. Shri Prahlada Vacha. Kamana Acharat Pragyo Dharman Bhagavatam Iha Jagva Manasam Janma Prada Padruma Marthalam. Shri Prahlada Vacha. Prahlada Maharaj said, Kaumara, in the tender age of childhood, Acharat should practice Pragya, one is intelligent. Dharma, occupational duties, Bhagavatam, which are devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Iha,
in this life,
Dulabam,
very rarely,
obtained.
Manusham,
human.
Janma,
birth.
Tat,
death.
Api,
even.
Adhuvam,
impermanent, temporary.
Parthadam,
full of meaning.
Prahlada
Maharaj said, One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of life from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human form is most rarely achieved. And although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. Purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The whole purpose of Vedic civilization and of reading the Vedas is to attain the stage of devotional service in the human form of life. According to the Vedic civil system, therefore, from the beginning of life, the Brahmachari system was introduced so that from one's very childhood, from the age of 5 years, one can practice modifying one's human life as to engage perfectly in devotional service. Om Gyanatimandasya Gyananjana Shrakya Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Nityananda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Kamana Achat Pragya Dharman Bhagavata Miya Dilvam Manasam Janma Tarapi Adivam Arthana. So that's a very famous verse of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada often lectured on this verse, and Prabhupada often quoted this verse. And almost all the preachers of Krishna consciousness extensively quote this verse. So this verse is being spoken by the great devotee. What's his name? And Prahlad Maharaj is described as one of the Mahajans or spiritual authorities. Sambhu Narada Sambhu Kamara Kapila Manu Prahlado Janaka Bhismo Valirvai Yasakirvayam. There are 12 spiritual authorities, Mahajans. Mahajan means one with a spiritual authority, self-realized. These days Mahajan has become a family name. But Mahajan means one who is self-realized. So there are 12 sources of spiritual authority, and one of them is Prahlad. In material life, people have heroes, isn't it? Like youngsters, usually have a pop star, or a sports star, or a movie star as a hero. You walk into a youngster's rooms, you usually see on the walls all these posters. In spiritual life also, we have heroes and heroines. Our heroes are Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, all these exalted personalities. The heroines are Kundi Devi and so on. So, we meditate on their teachings. Prahlad had a great fortune of receiving spiritual knowledge when he was in the womb of his mother, because his father, Hiranyakashipu. Though we identify Hiranyakashipu as a demon, in a heart of hearts he was a great devotee of the Lord. And he was playing this role to make the Lord's pastimes more relishable. So, Prahlad was in the womb of his mother, and the demigods were already so alarmed by Hiranyakashipu's activities. Their living had become virtually impossible. Hiranyakashipu was executing very powerful austerities. He stood on his toes
with his hands raised to the sky for 100 celestial years without any interruption. How many of you do yoga? Okay. So, how long can you stand on your toes? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Maximum 10 minutes. Maybe yoga experts can do for 20 minutes. But Hanukkah stood on his toes for 100 celestial years. 6 months of our early years is equal to 12 hours of the early heavenly planets. So 100 celestial years, he stood on his toes. Can any yogic expert do that? And he didn't take a drop of water. You know, we do Nirjala Ekadasi one day a year, and we think we've done something. Yes, Hanukkashipu didn't take a drop of water for 100 celestial years. So this is not an ordinary man's achievement. So the demigods were concerned that a child in the womb of Mrs. Hiranyakashipu would be another demon. So they were dragging Prahlad's mother when Narada Muni intervened and said, "What are you doing? Why are you dragging this innocent lady?" And they said the child in the womb of this lady could be another demon. And Narada Muni assured them, "No." And then Narada Muni gave Prahlad's mother protection in his ashram. So Prahlad had the great fortune of having received this knowledge when he was in the womb of his mother. His father could never comprehend, "Where is Prahlad getting all this knowledge from? It looks like the Vaishnavas are coming in disguise to brainwash my son." But actually, he had received this knowledge when he was in the womb of his mother. So Prahlad says, one who is intelligent should use his human life from the very beginning, from childhood, to practice devotional service. Kaumara. Kaumara generally means age of childhood. And Prabhupada in the purport talks about age of 5. Like these days you see that children getting introduced to computer education at a young age. They have in India what they call these toddler computer schools. They have them in Mauritius. Toddler computer schools means from age of 2.5, you send your kids, they'll teach them computers. And we have a school in Bombay, pretty much state-of-the-art school. And there they start teaching computers from the age of 4 also. So we do that from a young age because you realize the importance of this education. So similarly, those who are fortunate to receive this knowledge should cultivate this from a young age. Why? Because human life is dulabha manusam janma, very rare. How many people really learn human life is rare? Almost no one. There are so many educational institutions around the globe. Prabhupada was once giving a lecture at a very prominent university in America, and he said, in this great university, is there any department that tells you what happens after death? And there was complete silence. So human life is rare, and there's dulabha manusam janma, and you hear this all the time. But unfortunately, the society is so misled that they just don't care, isn't it? You tell people, you know, the reaction to all this meat eating is going to be, you're going to get eaten. And what's the usual response? Okay, what's the loss? We'll become animals. The people today are so degraded. Either they don't believe it, or even if they believe it, they say, okay, they're so deeply intoxicated. So Prahlad Maharaj talks about the human life being very rare and should be used effectively in devotional service. And then Prahlad goes on to explain how this human form offers one a chance to go back to Godhead. The human form of life offers one a chance to go back to Godhead. Therefore, one should engage in devotional service. So this is the conclusion of all the Vedic scriptures. We should use this human life to progress spiritually. So we have the Bhagavatam class every day. Prabhupada endeavored hard and translated the Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you regularly hear, of course most of you live at home, I imagine, isn't it? But then, if you live at home, you may not be able to come to the temple every day for the class. But we should make it a point to hear the Bhagavatam and read the Bhagavatam. In the first canto it is said, Nasta Pareshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naisi. By regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, all that is inauspicious in the heart. What is inauspicious in the heart? What? The anarthas, the dirt, lust, anger, greed, envy, etc. All that is inauspicious in the heart gets destroyed. And what happens when the anarthas get destroyed? When the anarthas get destroyed, then loving devotional service unto the personality of God that gets established. For loving devotional service to penetrate, you have to first eliminate the anarthas. And the Bhagavatam is so powerful. Just by hearing attentively, Prabhupada often was asked, how is he preaching so enthusiastically? And Prabhupada said, I heard attentively. So if you hear attentively, it will cleanse the heart. So even if you can't, how many of you have the Bhagavatam sets at home? Okay. Almost everyone. So if you can't come to the class, maybe on weekends you can come, but at least make it a point to read every day. And if you read every day, it will help you tremendously. And Prabhupada, when he started the First Iskcon Temple in New York, he hand-wrote, everyone must attend my Bhagavatam class and the Gita class. Prabhupada gave us a very nice terminology. You know what's a sandwich?
Yes.
Bread on the top, bread on the bottom, and some veggie burger in the middle. So Prabhupada said, we have the morning program and the evening program. And service in the daytime. So that's our devotional sandwich. So you may not be able to have the devotional sandwich in the temple every day, but if you do a job or stay at home, you can do it at home also. Read the Bhagavatam in the morning before you go to work, chant, then come back and again read. So if you do this regularly, that will help you spiritually. So today is also the disappearance day of a great Vaishnava sage. What's his name? Chandras Hasan. We are so fortunate in that we have all these celebrations. Like yesterday we had the celebration of Jayadeva Goswami. Day before was the celebration of Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Namjana Kaviraj. Today is the disappearance of Lord Chandras Thakur. Lord Chandras Thakur was a disciple of Narahari Sarkar. And he wrote a book on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called, he first published a book as Chaitanya Bhagavat. So when he wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat, he discovered, oh, Vrindavan Das Thakur has already published a book by that name. Then he changed the name to Chaitanya Mangal. And and Narottama Thakur and Chaitanya Mangal, he listed those pastimes that are not described in detail in Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita. You may have observed in reading Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita that if one author has presented a pastime in detail, the other author hasn't gone into detail. Like there are so many pastimes where Krishna's Kaviraj says, I will only discuss in brief because Vrindavan Das has elaborated in Chaitanya Bhagavat. So in Chaitanya Mangal, Lochanas Thakur only talks about those pastimes that the others haven't talked about. So there are many pastimes. I just mentioned two. Once when Nimai was a young boy, he brought a puppy home. There were many puppies, and there were many puppies, and Nimai picked up the most beautiful puppy and brought him home. And the other friends of Nimai, they complained to Sachi Mata. Nimai fought with us and took the most beautiful puppy home and left all the ugly puppies for us. And then Sachi Mata said, Nimai, don't you know we are Brahmins? Brahmins are not supposed to keep puppies at home. Nimai said, if you don't let this puppy stay at home, mother, I'm not going to stay at home either. Sachi Mata almost had no choice. So one day Nimai had gone to take his afternoon bath in the Ganga when a friend of his came and told him, Nimai, Nimai, your mother has untied the puppy dog. Because Nimai had tied the puppy dog to his, in his house. Your mother has untied the puppy dog, and now the puppy dog is missing. So Nimai said, where is that puppy dog? And so Nimai, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. What a lifespan, 10 minutes. So Nimai sent all his friends to different corners of Navadev to look for the puppy dog. And finally, they found the puppy dog. Where was the puppy dog? The puppy dog was in the center of Navadev, chanting and dancing in ecstasy. He was dancing on two legs, and his other two legs were like hands raised up. Tears were flowing from his eyes. Hair was standing on end. And his body was shivering like all symptoms of pure ecstasy. So everyone came running over there. The word spread around and over there. Oh, that puppy dog was in Nimai's house. He's now dancing and chanting like a pure devotee. And everyone came running over there. And in front of everyone, a chariot came from the spiritual world to take the puppy dog. And the puppy dog went on that chariot, waving, there he went, bye-bye. he went back to Godhead. So the whole town started saying, this Nimai, he must be a miracle man. He made the puppy dog into a pure devotee of the Lord. So this pastime, it presented by Chaitanya Lochandas in Chaitanya Mangal. So if any of you, like I said the other day, if any of you want to keep a puppy dog, saying that, oh, Lord Chaitanya kept a puppy dog, so why can't I do it? Then you have to guarantee that within a few days you'll make him a pure devotee, not few lifetimes. But Mahaprabhu made him a pure devotee in a few days. This is also the story of a dog who got Shivananda Sen's association, and then he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu was feeding him dry coconut, and then that dog also went back to Godhead. So this pastime is there. Then there's another pastime in Chaitanya Mangal. There are many, I'm just mentioning two. Once Lord Chaitanya, after he took sannyas, he was headed towards Jagannath Puri temple. And he felt thirsty on the way. So there was a man selling buttermilk. So Lord Chaitanya said, "I'm very thirsty." And he drank the whole pot, matka, you know, it was full of buttermilk. He drank the whole thing in one stroke. And he said, "Money." And Lord Chaitanya said, "I don't have any money, but my colleagues are coming behind me and they will pay you." A little later, Nityananda came along with his associates, and the milkman said, "One of your sannyasis drank all my milk and said, you are going to pay me." And now Lord Nityananda said, "We don't have any money either." So the milkman said, "Okay, tell that Swami that milk, tell that Swami that buttermilk was a donation from my side. Now I'm going to go home." So he tried to lift the empty pot. The pot had become empty because he gave all the milk to Lord Chaitanya to drink. He tried to lift that empty pot, but it was so heavy, he could not move it even an inch. He said, "What is this? I emptied everything, I sold it. Look, the sannyasi drank everything. I know it should be easy to lift the pot." So he was curious. He said, "Let me see what's inside." And he saw inside the pot. That pot, because he gave the milk in charity to Lord Chaitanya, the pot became full of jewels, stones, rubies, gold. And not only did it become full with that, that milkman got blessed with love of God and began to chant Hare Krishna and dance in ecstasy. So Lochanas Thakur describes this pastime. This pastime is a little similar to the pastime when you read in the 10th canto, where there was a lady selling apples, and she said, "Anybody wants to buy apples?" And those days they had the barter system. Barter system means you get some product in exchange for giving other products. And the Lord was a young boy. He went with greens in his hands towards that lady selling apples. And by the time he reached the lady, all the greens had fallen out of his hands. But still, the lady was so attracted to the Lord that she gave him the apples. And when she looked back, what did she find? The apples had become full of? Full of what? Golden apples. Golden apples. So the moral is, you're never a loser by giving to Krishna. Sometimes you see some people say, devotees say, "Oh, what if I gave some apples also? And I get golden apples in exchange." The Sudama Brahman, he went to see the Lord. But when he came back, his hut was transformed into a palace. We may not get these goodies because Krishna knows if he gives us too much opulence, we'll get spoiled. So he keeps us on our toes. So Lochanas Thakur also gave many wonderful songs. In all his songs, he has glorified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We just want to compose many songs, but Prabhupada was very fond of Parama Karuna. So, so I'll just read to you briefly. You want to hear one of his compositions? Parama Karuna Patutu Jana Nitai Gora Chanda Sava Avatara Sara Suromani Kevala Nanda Kanda. The two lords, Nitai and Gora Chanda, are very merciful. Sorry. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that they have introduced a process of chanting and dancing that is simply joyful. So Lord Chaitanya Thakur and his Parama Karuna, Prabhupada was often going in ecstasy singing this bhajan. So Narottama Thakur, Lord Chaitanya is saying that Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya are very merciful and they are the essence of all incarnations. And if you take advantage of the process of chanting and hearing, what is it? Simply joyful. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, without any motive. So further, Lord Chaitanya Thakur says, please worship who? Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. But in order to worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, there's something that you have to give up. What is that? Vishaya. Material desires. If you really want to worship Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, you have to give up material desires. How many of you are ready for that? No one. Okay. Then he says, my dear brother, just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda. The merciful qualities are so great that upon hearing them, even birds and bees cry and stones melt. So Lord Chaitanya is saying that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what are they? Supremely merciful. Just like Narottama Das Thakur says, you have appeared to save the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga. And even the birds and the animals, they begin to chant. Which is that famous story? Lord Chaitanya was passing through which forest? Jharkhand forest. And he made even the animals chant and dance. And Prabhupada, following in their footsteps, when Prabhupada went to the west, he made those chant and dance people who were almost deeply addicted to bad habits like animals. Then Lord Chaitanya said, but Lord Chaitanya Thakur regrets that I'm entrapped by sense gratification. Since I have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, the Nyamraj, the Supreme Lord of Death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted to this movement. So this is the humility of a devotee. Just like Krishnadas Kaviraj says, don't even take my name. Even if you take my name, all your good qualities will go away. And what's our mentality? If you don't take my name, all your good qualities will go away. But the Lord Chaitanya Thakur says, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, don't even take my name. If you take my name, all your good qualities will go away. So Lord Chaitanya Thakur is presenting the mood of humility. He says, in order to be attracted to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, we have to free ourselves of vishaya, material attraction. But I'm so fallen. Yamraj is punishing me, but not enabling me to be attracted to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Dinananda. So today is an auspicious day. We can pray to Lochandas Thakur that we may be blessed with the desire to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityananda, who are the most merciful of all incarnations. Lochandas Thakur ki
jai.
So now we go to the third topic of the day. That is the Golden Jubilee. Actually, our Golden Jubilee celebration started last year. There are two Golden Jubilees that ISKCON is observing in succession. One was in 2015 and the other is in 2016. In 2015, we were celebrating the Golden Jubilee of Prabhupada's departure from India. As you know, Prabhupada sailed from India on August 30, 1965, before some of you were born. Okay. Prabhupada was ordered in 1921 by his Guru Maharaj. Bhakti Siddhantaji met Prabhupada. Prabhupada had a friend, Malik, who told Prabhupada, "There is a very special sadhu here in Calcutta. I want you to meet him." Prabhupada had a lot of exposure to sadhus because Prabhupada's father, Guru Mohan Day, was a middle class businessman. He was not a very rich man. But he would regularly host sadhus in his house. Can you hear me in the back? Is it clear? He would regularly host sadhus. So Prabhupada saw, had exposure to a lot of sadhus, but he was not so inspired by them. So Prabhupada said, "I met many sadhus, I'm not so inspired by them." But this friend said, "He is special." And in one of Prabhupada's lectures, Prabhupada said, "He virtually dragged me to see Bhakti Sinanaji." And Bhakti Sinanaji was not an ordinary visionary. He was the empowered representative of the Lord. He could see in the very first meeting that this young man is empowered by Lord Chaitanya to take his message. So Prabhupada had meditated all along on the spiritual master's instructions. He struggled to establish Krishna consciousness in India. Then Prabhupada had a friend in Mathura whose name was Mr. Agarwal. This Agarwal was a businessman, but he had a son who lived in Butler, Pennsylvania, and who got married to an American girl. Actually, that Agarwal was complaining to his folk, to Prabhupada, "My son went to America and there he got settled and got married to an American girl." So Prabhupada, the moment he heard that Agarwal had a son in America, he said, "Why don't you ask him to help me get an invitation to come to America?" And Agarwal took it seriously and wrote to his son. "This one, Abhay Chandra Varavindam Bhaktivinoda Swami, and I want you to give him an invitation to come." In the past, Agarwal had done this for many sadhus. And within 3 months, he sent a letter, invitation, and as a result, through a lot of hassles, because in those days, getting out of India wasn't easy, Prabhupada finally got all the permissions. He got the permission from the Reserve Bank, everything. But then that struggle was, where does he get the money to go? He got a visa also for 3 months. Prabhupada went to America on a 3-month visa. And so Prabhupada was wondering where to get the money. He approached some rich donors. They said, going by air, it's so expensive, Swamiji. And most of the people were just discouraging him. They were just telling him, you're going to go to America at this age, 69? You could die over there. Then someone told Prabhupada, there was a pious lady, Srimati Maharaji, who has a shipping line, cargo ships going to the West. And Prabhupada had already met her earlier because she helped Prabhupada in printing Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, part 2. So Prabhupada approached her. Prabhupada approached her secretary. And her secretary spoke, his name was Choksi. So he spoke to Prabhupada, and then he spoke to Srimati Maharaji. Srimati Maharaji said, tell that Swami, this is not the age to go to America. He should just read the Bhagavatam to me. So Prabhupada said, can I see that lady myself, Srimati? So finally when Prabhupada met Srimati Maharaji, Prabhupada requested her for a free passage to... It's okay. For a free passage to go to America. She said, Swamiji, at this age you will go, you could die over there. But when she saw that Prabhupada was very insistent, then she arranged a free passage to America. On which ship? The Jaladuta has become as famous in ISKCON as the Hare Krishna Mahamudra. Last year, every temple had a Jaladuta ship made in it, even more in Mauritius. If, you know, unfortunately, that ship got smashed, that's what they do with old planes and ships. They smash it and sell the... It's okay. Hare Krishna. Okay. So, if the Jaladuta was still there, the company would have made a fortune by auctioning the parts to its devotees. So anyway, so she finally gave Prabhupada a complimentary ticket, round trip ticket, on the Jaladuta. And she was a pious lady, so she arranged for Prabhupada, she told the captain of the ship to please take care of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada left India with 40 rupees. On August 13, before leaving India, he went to Mayapur to get the blessings of Bhakti Sinanda Ji. And Prabhupada, the ship was due to leave at 9 o'clock in the morning. Prabhupada took a taxi and arrived at the port 2 hours before anybody had come. Prabhupada was there by 7:30, and there was no one in the ship at that time, because Prabhupada didn't want to miss it. So Prabhupada sailed from India on August 13, 1965, and on the way, he had a heart attack, as you told me. Yeah, on the 13th day of the voyage, he had a heart attack. Just imagine, Prabhupada traveled in a cargo ship. I mean, cargo ship means no facility. In the whole ship, there was only one cabin that was reserved for A.C. Bhaktivedanta. And when Prabhupada was young, one astrologer had told him that at the age of 70, he would go abroad and open temples. And an astrologer had told him he would build a house in which the whole world would be able to live. So Prabhupada had 2 heart attacks on the way, and he felt, of course, they were minor attacks. He felt that his mission would not be successful. But then the next day, he had a dream. In that dream, there was a boat pulling the ship, Jaladuta. And in that boat, Krishna was there, along with the demigods. And the Lord told Prabhupada, "Don't worry, your mission will be successful." There was a very nice captain. Prabhupada very much appreciated his wife, Mrs. Pandey. Prabhupada said a few cases, she was a very intelligent lady. And she was also a good astrologer. So Prabhupada finally arrived in Boston on September 15. He went to the Captain Pandey to Prabhupada to see the city. And then, after seeing the city, Prabhupada was wondering. He wrote a poem on the Jaladuta in Boston, in which Prabhupada said, "My dear Lord, you brought me here. Who is going to listen to your message?" But then he goes on to say, "But by the mercy of Radharani, anything is possible." And then Prabhupada proceeded on September 1765, he reached New York. When he reached New York, he was received by a representative of Gopal Agrawal. Gopal Agrawal was the name of Mr. Agrawal. He was his son who gave Prabhupada the sponsorship. And he had an American wife called Sally and two young children. These days, if you go to America, you see Indians everywhere. But at that time, in those days, it wasn't so common seeing Indians in America, especially in a small town like Butler, Pennsylvania. That town was noted for having a big steel mill in which Gopal Agrawal was working. So Prabhupada finally came to Butler, Pennsylvania. He was received by somebody. As soon as Prabhupada landed in New York, he booked his ticket to go back to India. You know, like sometimes when you go to India, and it's before you do anything, you book your passage back to Mauritius. So Prabhupada landed in New York, and before he went to the city, he booked his return voyage back to India. And then Prabhupada was received by Gopal Agrawal. So Butler was a small town, as I said. And in that small town, there was an American sannyasi, there was an Indian swami. So everybody was phoning Mrs. Agrawal. And in Mrs. Agrawal's house, they were regularly cooking meat. Prabhupada said, "It doesn't matter, no problem." Prabhupada stayed in that environment. But Mrs. Agrawal made Prabhupada stay in the YMCA. You know YMCA? They have YMCA in Mauritius. Okay. I mean, they have it all over the world. So YMCA is a Christian organization. They have hostels and they have YWCA for ladies. So Mrs. Agrawal, she had a small two-room house with two kids. So it wasn't so convenient for her to have so Prabhupada stay there. But Prabhupada stayed there for a few days. He would cook prasad for the Agrawal family. And then she arranged for Prabhupada to stay in YMCA. Many people were phoning her and asking her, "Who is this Indian Swami staying in your house?" So she got a little tired of getting so many phone calls. So she was a smart lady. She arranged a press conference for Prabhupada. She arranged a press conference. See how Krishna works. Yeah, she arranged a press conference in which she called many press reporters. So next day, in the newspaper called the Butler Eagle, the Butler Eagle was a newspaper of the Butler town. There was an article, "Indian Sanskrit scholar comes to Butler." It's small town, you know. And there was a professor of philosophy, poetry, and just next to Butler, there was another city where they had a college called, this is going to make you laugh, the name of the college was Slippery Rock College. Americans have crazy names. But this college was called, I don't know if it's still there. But the college was called Slippery Rock College. So, one professor of philosophy from Slippery Rock College read that article. Indian Swami, Sanskrit scholar. And there was a famous picture of Prabhupada standing with the Srimad Bhagavatam set. That came in that newspaper, because that journalist, he came to interview Prabhupada and take his pictures. So in the paper, the Butler Ego, there was a new picture of Prabhupada. And the one professor at Slippery Rock College saw that article and he phoned Mrs. Agarwal. He said, "We just read in the paper that an Indian Swami is staying in your house. And I'm a professor from Slippery Rock College. I want to invite this Swami to give a lecture to my students." So when Prabhupada got to know from Mrs. Agarwal that the Americans are calling him to give a lecture, he was blessed. He had gone to America not to preach to Indians. He had gone to America to preach to the Americans. And he got the invitation. So Prabhupada went to that college, gave a lecture. And after the lecture, Prabhupada would always say any questions. So people would ask questions. So Prabhupada was so impressed by the reception he got from the American students. Prabhupada said, "Now I think Lord Chaitanya's movement will be successful in America." And then he went to New York. He didn't want to stay more in Pennsylvania. Butler was a small town. But Prabhupada stayed there for 1 month just to get to know America. But then he went to New York. He didn't have any place to stay. Prabhupada was once staying in a loft. You know what's a loft? A loft is a place which is like a go-down. In America you have these lofts. And Prabhupada was staying with a drug addict who was the owner of that loft. And because Prabhupada really had no place to go. And then one day that drug addict came to attack Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada had to leave in the middle of the night. Prabhupada had to leave in the middle of the night and he ended up in Michael Grant's house. That is Mukunda Swami. And Prabhupada was there at the door with his suitcase. So then Prabhupada started preaching. Krishna sent him some more. There was a yoga teacher called Dr. Mishra. Prabhupada was staying with him for some time. But then Dr. Mishra saw that his students were getting too attracted to Swami. He was preaching the Mayavadi philosophy, and Swami was preaching the philosophy of bliss. So then he finally told Prabhupada, "It may be better if you go somewhere else." And then Prabhupada, and finally then Prabhupada established Islam. So in July 1966, Prabhupada incorporated ISKCON. When Prabhupada was incorporating ISKCON, many people said, "Why don't you call this International Society for God Consciousness?" Everyone told him, even the lawyer that Prabhupada went to, he said, "Why don't you call this Swamiji, International Society of God Consciousness?" Prabhupada said, "God is too vague. Krishna is specific. So we'll call it International Society of Krishna Consciousness." You know, God's a vague term. You know, Prabhupada wanted to establish Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Then Prabhupada, ISKCON, name, was in Prabhupada's mind from the beginning, even before Prabhupada went to the West. He was thinking of naming a society. In India, he named it League of Devotees. But then when he went to America, he was meditating on International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Then Prabhupada, with the help of a lawyer, he established ISKCON. And when you read what Prabhupada said, you know, when you form a society, you have to write about the objects of the society. When you hear what the objects Prabhupada gave, he gave, first he said, he gave seven purposes of ISKCON. Want to hear?
Yes.
One, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values of life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. Prabhupada often said, ISKCON is a real United Nations. United Nations hasn't succeeded in bringing peace, but ISKCON's real United. B, to propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. The Prabhupada being very specific from the beginning, God means Krishna. And what's the purpose of ISKCON? To propagate Krishna consciousness. To bring to the members of the society together, meet each other and nearer to Krishna. The prime duty, that's to develop the ideas within the members that each soul is part and parcel of Krishna. So Prabhupada gave pretty much the teachings. He gave the seven purposes of his soul. And then he set up his soul. So this year we are celebrating the Golden Jubilee of incorporation of and opening of the first ISKCON temple. The first ISKCON temple opened in New York on 2nd Avenue in 1966. So this year is very significant. And you want to know what progress ISKCON has made in 50 years?
Yes.
Right now there are 650 ISKCON temples around the world. Which 2, 3, 4, 5 are in Mauritius. So the rest are outside Mauritius. Okay. There are about 95,000 initiated devotees around the world. There are 516 million books which have been printed by BBTs around the world. You want to know how many Govinda restaurants there are around the world? There are, I think there's one in Mauritius, one official, there are a few unofficial in Mauritius. These are the official Govinda restaurants. There are 110 Govinda restaurants around the world. It is said that there are about 9 million people who come to ISKCON temples around the world. 9 million. ISKCON has distributed 3 billion plates of prasad in the last 15 years. I don't know how they got this figure, but anyway, 3 million plates. And there are 65 ISKCON farms and goshalas and villages around the world. 65. You want to know how many festivals we celebrate every year? Around the world, ISKCON celebrates 6,000 festivals every year. And 260,000 the Padyatra has walked over 161,000 miles, visiting 52,000 towns and villages in 110 countries. If they had this Padyatra march in 110 countries, and this Padyatra has gone to 52,000 villages and towns in 110 countries. So, anyway, these are just, there's a bacteria in the hospital in Bombay that has cured more than 212,000 patients. So these are some highlights. So the question is now, what should we do for the Golden Jubilee? All over the world, devotees are taking on different targets. Some are taking a target, I'll increase book distribution, I will increase Harinam, I'm going to have more Namahats, Bhakti Vrikshas, we're going to increase book distribution, we're going to construct a new temple. So people have taken on different goals. Should there be a goal in Mauritius also?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Are you saying, yeah? There should be a goal here?
Yeah, is there?
Yeah. It should be a goal, isn't it? Yes. So I'm waiting to get some feedback from these devotees. There should be a goal or no?
Yes.
You know what you should make as a goal? The construction of the new temple. So this would be because now I hear in the morning you have this prayer. The Prabhupada wanted Mauritius to be the first Krishna conscious country in the world. So if you have a nice temple, then you can even make it easier to present Krishna consciousness. So many points, many goals have already been established, and temple construction, of course, is most important, of which everyone's help is needed. Then, Shri Srila Prabhupada's Guru Pujas are being done in different homes. Huh? Is that right? One program every month. Rosewell Preaching Center. You want me to read it out? These are some of the goals, some of the decisions already made. Every devotee should be thinking, what can I do for these two Golden Jubilees? One Golden Jubilee was last year, Prabhupada's departure from India, and this year is Prabhupada's arrival in America, setting up ISKCON, and opening the first ISKCON Center. The Golden Jubilee is a big thing. And as I said, it's a unique opportunity for us to do something tangible for Prabhupada. So it's nice that if every devotee gets involved in this Golden Jubilee, every devotee can distribute at least 50 books in the whole year. So how many of you would like to make this as a goal? 50 books in 365 days. Isn't that all? You. Very nice.
That's my
very good.
What about this to Mauritius?
So, who is going to monitor those that are lifting their hands? Who is going to follow up?
I can do it.
So how many of you are ready to make a commitment to distribute 50 books in 365 days? That's all. That's all. What about the others? You don't want mercy? Oh, but if you lose, you more.
I asked the question. Minimum 50 books.
It
can be small. Okay,
plus,
but
more. More. You can do it more, but not. Send friendly quotes of Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. Many temples, they send on SMS.
Yeah.
Who is going to do that? You?
I'm doing. Some of the devotees also.
More public programs. More food for life, more Hainam, more house programs, publication, interfaith programs, essay, youth programs, full holy name week, Patiyata, very good. So in other words, each of you should be thinking, what can I do to make Prabhupada's desire come true? And what was Prabhupada's desire? That Mauritius be the first Krishna conscious country on the planet. So all of you can do something. And everyone's ready for that?
Yes.
Ready for the temple construction?
Yes.
And trying to book, I know previously when I would come to Mauritius, they would tell me about such nice clothes they would get in the marathon. But I heard that in this marathon, in honor of Prabhupada's departure from India, Golden Jubilee, you know, didn't have any good scores. Am I right? Why is that? You may. They went on strike. Prabhupada wanted us in the book distribution. Prabhupada said, as long as book distribution goes on, I'll never die. That means through these books, Prabhupada keeps preaching. And now Prabhupada's books are available in more than 75 languages of the world. Yeah, Prabhupada's books virtually available in every major language of the world. So please make a sincere endeavor to establish Krishna consciousness. And like I was explaining, last night, that Prabhupada said, when you have a disease and you want to recover from the disease, what do you need? You need two things. What are they? Medicine and diet. Medicine is chanting the holy name. Diet is service. Let's say you have diabetes. You're taking diabetes medicine every day. But along with that, you're taking sweet cookies also. Will that work? So you need medicine and the diet. So our medicine is chanting, reading, and diet is service. So we should all also be eager to do service. And we do service where? In the temple. So the temples give us all an opportunity to engage in service. And when we do some service, maybe deity worship, maybe cooking, maybe cleaning, maybe Harinam, maybe Rathyatra, whatever, we also make spiritual advancement. Sometimes devotees feel that I don't need to go to the temple. But that is a mistake. We've been talking about the importance of spiritual association. And the temple gives us a good opportunity to engage in service and get purified. So we need both the medicine and the diet. Prabhupada opened these temples for what? He opened these temples because these temples are bases from which the army operates. So we should be enthusiastic, come every Sunday to the Sunday feast, take part in the temple-related program, and come into some service. I often tell our devotees, don't become like pious Hindus. You know, pious Hindus, they observe all the rituals, but they don't understand the purpose of the rituals. So we get initiated and so on. We should also be eager to do service. So please do service. And if you take the medicine and the diet, then you'll make spiritual advancement. Everyone agrees with that? Medicine and diet, both are just the medicine. Diet is our service. You should keep a scorecard of what service you're doing. So thank you very much. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you for listening to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. For more information, please visit zkgoswami.com.